Well, just so you know, we also on Wednesdays are having Honors Reward. We broke it down into six installments. And Dr. Tony Castaneda taught the first one. And he gets to close it out this Wednesday. And how many know Wednesdays have been really good? I mean, how many have been here on Wednesdays? You know, they've been steadily growing in attendance. And we would love for you to join us on Wednesdays. Bring a friend. Some people are like, I can't come on a Sunday. Well, come on a Wednesday. You know? Or come Sunday night. You know, we have a special service tonight. So bring somebody out tonight. Okay? But make sure you come on Wednesday. You get to hear the last part of the series. Dr. Tony will do the honors. Amen? So this whole series hinges on the principle of honor. If you're joining us for the first time, honor is something that we lack quite a bit in our society nowadays. It's just not there. But unfortunately, for those that choose to not honor God and people, you know, it is a spiritual law. I mean, if you break it, there's consequences. It's just the way it is. You know the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. That it may go well with you and you'll have a long life. He put it right there, commandment number five. You know, honor people, but specifically honor your domestic leaders, as we've talked in the past. So today I'm going to expound a little bit more on that by speaking about spiritual leaders, but I feel like I need to pray before we get going. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing of your presence, Lord God. I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would lead me to speak exactly what you want me to speak. And Father, that you would anoint the hearts, the ears, Lord God, to receive a transforming word. Father, thank you that this teaching has already been doing a great work in our house, Lord God, Father. But I pray that it will be sealed today as we deal with the last piece, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I begin with point number one. I know usually I talk a little before I get into a point, but I'm starting right off the bat with a point. All right. Honor is giving God your best. Giving God your best, whatever that may mean. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 says, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I say indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Let me say that again. For those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Do you want to be honored or lightly esteemed by God? Do you want God's favor to shine upon you? Then you need to give God your best. Look at what it says in Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 and through 8. It says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. And he's speaking to the leaders here, you know, but there's a principle here. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? And listen, you offered defiled food on my altar. That means you're not giving God your best. But say, in what way have we defiled you by saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer then to your governor, would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. And so we have to honor God and man, but we always have to honor God first, and we have to give him our best. But sometimes the way we honor God is by honoring his people, by honoring spiritual leaders. And God can tell you've given him your best if you're just paying lip service. So this people, you know, the Levitical law would say, hey, you have to bring a heifer, a cow, you have to bring, you know, a bird or some other animal, and you're going to sacrifice it. And they said, well, we have 10 cows. That one's kind of sickly and ain't going to last very much longer. It's the old one, you know. So why don't we take that one to the sanctuary and have that one, you know, killed. And it's like, so they keep the best one of the bunch. So it says, yes, you brought a cow. There's a value in that, but it says to me, it's like nothing, because you didn't give me your best. Like I said, God is jealous. And God doesn't want to compete with other desires, other appetites in our lives. And you know, to them, in the Middle Eastern culture, this meant something, because honor is very important in the Middle Eastern culture. You know, in the Middle Eastern culture, they make decisions based on, is this honorable or is it dishonorable? Is this going to gain more honor or is this going to lose honor? You even hear today in some countries where they talk about honor killings. Well, you know, this child brought me dishonor. I'll just kill it, you know. I mean, to that point. So, but in our culture, we've kind of lost that. Not to say that we need to go to that extent, please. I mean, I know the Levitical law says that if a young man was incorrigible, take him outside the city and stone him. I know some of you have thought about it, but I don't. We're under grace now. You know, tell your child that's next to you, say, I'm not going to stone you outside the city gates. You know, like mothers would say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world, right? Like the meme last week, I'll slap you into 2021. And so people are like, please, slap me into 2021. Let's get out. Yeah, let's do it. But it says here that it's about the heart. God can see our heart even through our actions. Their heart was not from God. So he's saying, some of you have a greater esteem for your parents. Some of you have better esteem for your bosses than me. It cannot be. It says, the scripture says clearly, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then your neighbor as yourself. So there's honor first to God and to our neighbor. But even the honor we give to people is based on the honor that we give to God. Some people are just very difficult to deal with. So you say, even our spouses, and I've said this before, there's times when we're not going to like our spouses very much. Come on, let's just be honest. Yes. You know, you're married for a few years or maybe in a few days, and there's going to be something you're like, you know, I don't like you very much right now, but because I love God so much, I'm going to forgive you, I'm going to work with you, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this right. So that's how we honor God, as we honor people. Amen? Jesus spoke of the religious people of the day and also quoted Isaiah. Look at what it says in Matthew 15, verse 7. Hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Honor begins in the heart. Just like when we bring our offerings and our tithes, he doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. When you give God your heart, just like when you give your heart to a woman, you'll do whatever it takes, you know, to make them happy, to cherish them, to make them feel loved and special. When honor is not from the heart, when it comes to Him, honor our leaders, or honoring our peers, or honoring even the people that God's called us to steward over, the people that work for us, the people that we as pastors have to, serve. And it says we lose the reward that God wants us to give. We lose a reward in it. And we've been talking about this during the series. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He delights in giving us a reward. Look at what it says also in Malachi chapter 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another? Man, that verse could speak a lot to our society today, right? If we really honor God in His image and in people, then we wouldn't treat people like they've been treated this year. Whether you're talking about racial, ethnic, you know, this group, that group, this political party, that political party. You know, people just say all kinds of nasty things. Why? Because they don't see the gift of God, the image of God in people. And if you have done this, you need to repent. It's just as simple as that. When you're here, let me tell you, I know you're here to be encouraged, but you're also here to be challenged. How many want to be challenged as well? Not just like, yeah, tell me everything I want to hear. You want to hear something that's going to heal you. And I know that this is like something that's bitter in your mouth, but it'll be good in your tummy. Okay, I know it's opposite of Revelation, where it said it was sweet in the mouth and bitter in the tummy. I want it to be, you know, when you first buy it, you're like, okay, Pastor, you're a little rough on me. But as you begin to chew on it, you begin to act it out, it begins to bring healing. Because this is the heart of God, that we honor Him and that we honor people. People that are above us, people that are peers, and people that are, you know, you consider below, that God has called you to steward over. We need to ask God to give us a heart to honor. When dishonoring thoughts, dishonoring words come out of our mouth for a relative, for a spouse, for a government leader, for a teacher, for a boss, for a person, remember that we are made in the image of God. And we share this scripture as well that I'm going to share now earlier in the series. 2 John chapter 1 verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. When we dishonor God and we dishonor people, we're losing part or even our full reward. Actually, in Malachi, if you keep reading, it says that you come under a curse. So it's not like you just, oh, you're not getting a reward. No, it says you get like a negative reward. What is a curse? When we talk about that, it's when the supernatural is working against you. How many of you felt like the supernatural was working against you? You know? People make all kinds of money. It's like, where is it going? It's disappearing. I'm always in the red. I can't prosper. You know, that's just one example of that. So I don't want you to miss out your full reward in God. We need to continue to grow and develop a culture of honor. Yes, there are times when people are not very nice, but you can rebuke somebody and still honor them. Do you understand that? You can tell a government leader, hey, I think what you're doing is wrong, and still honor them. Like Paul referred to the Roman governor, almost excellent Felix. He didn't say, hey, you loser. Somebody just called the president of the United States clown. That should not be. He's bringing judgment upon himself. It doesn't matter what party you're from. We cannot do that. The scripture is clear. You will not revile the leader of your people. Even though he's really rough around the edges. You know? And I know everybody said, every pastor's like, I pray for him and I pray that he would stop tweeting. You know, it's just Lord, take away his Twitter account. You know? But those are just facts. But I still honor. He's the President of the United States. And we must honor him as such. So, point number two, we must honor spiritual leaders. Now let's talk about spiritual leaders. We haven't talked about them much. And we're talking about appointed church leaders. It includes the fivefold ministry. And those you'll find in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You know, what are we talking about? Pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and prophets. Right? But also includes every type of elder. Okay? That means overseer. Some people call them bishops. It talks about deacons, administrators, like administrative director. That's an appointed leader. Who are called, they have a calling from God, also have been commissioned, that means they've been laid hands on and recognized in the body of Christ as leaders within the house. Now, we don't do it lightly. We don't just hand people, you know, titles for no reason. But if they have this honors, it's because they have brought honor on themselves because of the commendable lifestyles they lead, worthy of imitation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Follow my lead. And yes, it tells us that they need to have certain qualifications. I want to be balanced because maybe there's somebody here for the first time. I don't want you to think like some churches may preach, hey, do whatever the pastor tells you, you know, and then you will bless, God will give you a Rolls Royce, you'll get a Rolex and a house, you know. That's not the message that I'm preaching here. I'm trying to teach you some foundational things that as you put them into practice, you're going to see blessing in increasing manner. But blessing comes in many forms. It comes in healthy relationships. It comes even in health in your body, health in your mind. How many people like health in their mind? You know, it's like, I don't want to... We need peace in our hearts. So it's not just about how many people have huge homes and are full of stress and anxiety. I don't need that. Better a morsel of food with peace, you know, than a banquet, you know, in the midst of grief and strife. That's what the proverb says. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, gives us the qualifications for these leaders. It says, this person needs to be, says, this is a trustworthy saying, if someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position, worthy of esteem, of being held in a high place, right? You know, like, Jumbavir said, you don't put gold in a junk drawer. You put it in a very special place, in a safe, you know, where it's not going to disappear. So a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. And if I can say a man or a woman, he's to be faithful to his wife or to her husband. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. We said on Wednesday, you know, a good reputation is better than perfume, I think is a translation. He must enjoy having guests in his home. It means hospital. He must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. They can't be giving themselves to bad habits. They must be gentle, nor quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey them. For if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? Right? So there's a big responsibility for appointed church leaders from God. Remember, the scripture is always applied to you first. Actually, you only apply it to you. Unless God's called you to steward over people. A lot of people go around telling, hey, the scripture says you need to do this, you need to do this. Jesus say, hey, look, you have a big plank in your eye, get it out of your eye, you know, before you can even start talking. Because you're trying to get the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye. Deal with yourself. The scripture, you know, as somebody once said, as you point a finger out, there's three fingers pointing back at you. So start right there. So you always take what's yours first. Now, some of us, God's called us, hey, to steward over people. And once in a while, hopefully not all the time, we have to confront people. We have to lovingly rebuke people and say, why are you doing this? You know, this goes according to scripture. But I better be walking in it. If I'm going to call it out, the Bible says that we should not judge lightly, or you'll be judged. So anyway, it says here, for if a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer. They can't be a novice, but he might be, because he may become proud, and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of them, so that they, and I don't keep changing the pronouns, but they will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. We want to have good standing and favor with the community. How many Christians have ruined the favor of a church or the favor of Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus' name is stepped on all over, you know, our society and the media and the movies. You know, gosh darn, you know, and geez whiz and all the, you know, I'm not saying this, but you know what I'm talking about, right? People just use their name in vain. It's commandment number three, you will not use his name in vain. And we just trample on it. It's of the devil, I know. But it's become part of our culture, and we need to change that. You should walk in the fear of God through and say, oh, you gotta be careful what comes out of my mouth. I can't be talking like the world. There was a movie called Time Warp or Time Zone, I forget. But the premise of this was this. There was a Bible teacher from the 1800s who said, hey, maybe we can teach morals without Jesus Christ. And the other guy said, you cannot teach morals without Jesus Christ. That was the big trap of the devil. No, let's just say, hey, do the right things. You can't tell people to do the right things without the foundation, which is Jesus, right? So this other Bible teacher said, I have built a time machine. I'm going to send you to the future so you can see what's happening in the future because we've built a foundation of morals without Jesus Christ. So this guy travels in time. He ends up in the future. And he goes to this church and like, hey, we have movie night. Just like we just did. We'd all get in a van and go watch a movie, you know, a movie theater. And the guy's like, oh, cool. You know, what is this? You know, popcorn and let's check it out. He goes in the movie. About 10 minutes into it, he comes running out. Stop! 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 They just used God's name in vain in the movie. They just used God's name in vain in the movie. Stop this movie. What's wrong with people? He was in shock. But we're not in shock. What's happened to us? We need to make sure that we have good standing with the people outside. I mean, there's going to come a time where we're going to be at odds with the society, right? Because they're going a different direction. The Bible calls it the narrow road that leads to life versus the wide path that leads to destruction. So there's times where we're going to be counterculture, and we have to be willing to stand. But we don't just, you know, ruin our reputation and think everything's going to be okay. Now let me say, there's nothing that God does on the earth that God does not partner with man to accomplish. Right? He could do it all himself. You know, people say, oh, I don't need pastors, I don't need leaders, I'll just go straight to God. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what the biblical record teaches, that's not what the scriptures teaches. He always worked through a man. Jesus Christ came to be the mediator between God and men. And he appointed high priests and prophets and apostles, teachers. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says that Jesus himself gave us these as gifts. These are what we call ministerial gifts to the church. Why he chose to do it this way, I don't know. But he always chooses men and women to show himself. Paul says, he has put this treasure in earthen vessels. We're imperfect. So church leaders are first true disciples, right? They become followers. They must have learned to follow someone else's vision. And I know there's been some people that have done that and they get in trouble later on. If you can't follow someone's vision, God's not going to give you people to follow your vision. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you not cannot submit to people like your boss or your pastor, then don't expect for people to submit to you, much less demons. I'm trying to help somebody here. I want you to have authority. But you gain authority by coming under submission, not the opposite. Some people think, oh, if I become the boss, I can become the greatest, I have the most freedom, then I'll be perfect. No, no, no. You actually become under bondage as you work yourself away from submission and the authority that God has given in your life. These are people that have a special calling. They have a special job in the house of the Lord, and who by virtue of their faithfulness, the body confirms their calling. We have the saying, calling is confirmed in community. We don't just put up anybody. You know, pastor would always say, Eric, when you speak, people receive what you say really well. You know, there's a stature about you. There's an anointing. There's a gift. You know, people seem to respond well. So that gift was recognized over many years of doing it. You know, so it's not just like, well, just throw the dice. Eric will be the pastor, you know. No, God calls us, and here's a principle. God calls the person, but it still needs to be recognized by the leadership. Because some people I call and they say, God called me, I'm doing it. I don't care what anybody says. You can't be went. You have to be sent, right? You can't be went. You got to be sent. And some people do that. Paul was called by Jesus himself. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus. You're going to serve me. Radical situation, yet it was in Acts 13, it says when the prophets and elders were in prayer and fasting, that the word of the Lord came, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, to the ministry in the first missionary trip in the church history, you know, started. They had a call in their life, but it was confirmed by God and by the leadership in their life. So I just want you to take note of that, because some of you are like, I have a call in my life. Submit to the leadership and they will confirm your calling in due time. If you submit yourself on the mighty hand of God, He will raise you up in due time. He will promote you. You don't need to promote yourself. You need to blare out and go tell people, oh, you know, I have all these gifts. You know, people are just not seeing my gifts. I'm telling you, God sees it and He put them inside of you. Just give it time. Submit yourself to the leaders that He's put in your life. All of them. Now, you can't just be your pastors. Submit to government leaders. Submit to civil leaders, like your teachers and your coaches. Submit to your domestic leaders in your home. And, of course, submit to spiritual leaders. You have to have it all around. If not, you will miss out on your full reward. Are we getting this in our heart? I hope this is helping someone. So we spoke about toxic leadership last week. And even though they're toxic, we have to still honor them. Because they've been appointed by God. You say, you don't know my parents. You don't know my teachers. God put them there in your path. And there's benefits. Remember we said one of them is that's how God builds your character. You need to know. Thank God for them. Lord God, thank you for this rough leader. Because through them, I am being blessed. And God will promote you when you submit yourself. Hallelujah. So how much more a man or woman of God, even if they're not perfect, we need to submit. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 and 41, it says, He who receives me, this is Jesus speaking, and this is saying, anybody here, if you receive me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So saying, hey, if you're receiving me as coming from God, then you're receiving God. So when you receive a pastor, a leader of any kind, a teacher, a prophet, an elder, it says, and you say, this is the man of God in my life. This is the woman of God in my life. You know, then you're receiving God himself. They're emissaries of God. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Some people said, I want a prophetic word. Well, then see that, recognize the gift and the prophet in front of you. Right? And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So there's a principle. It's not just for prophets. It's for teachers. If you want a policeman's, you know, reward, then honor their policeman for their gift. Even if you're getting a ticket, say, thank you, officer, for doing your job. If you were speeding 1 mile over, you were still speeding and broke the law. I mean, he might have been harsh. That's on them. You deal with your heart. Let God deal with their heart. And if you submit to God, That's one of the benefits of submitting to God. It's like God says, I want to step into the situation, but I will not until you submit. And we say, okay, God, I'm submitting to you. I'm submitting to my leaders. Then it says, okay, now I'm going to do justice by you. I'm going to work in your favor. Amen? You get a reward for it. How we, listen, this is what John Bevere says, how we act toward, speak to, or even think, even think of a leader is the way that we treat the one who sent the leader. Did not Jesus deal with people's thoughts all the time? Oh, I see you're thinking this about this woman over here. I'll tell you that. This woman is going to be honored because she honored me. She broke this alabaster box, a precious thing. And she hasn't stopped, you know, honoring me by washing my feet with her tears and this very expensive oil. We're going to talk about her for the rest of humanity. He says, I will honor those who honor me. But those who dishonor me, they're going to get rebuked. He says, why do you think that in your heart? So God deals with our hearts, with our intents. So when a thought comes through your head, the Bible says that we need to take him captive. Why am I thinking that? Lord God, forgive me for thinking that about my pastor. Lord God, forgive me for thinking that about my teacher, my leader, my wife, whatever that leader is, forgive me. Or about a peer or a person that's serving for you. You know, believe me, some sheep bite. You know, so pastors constantly, you know, could get offended by the sheep that they serve. But we constantly go to God. God, Lord God, like Jesus said, they don't know what they're doing, Lord God. Forgive them. So, and you begin to pray for them. And if you pray for people all the time, you can't get mad at them for too long, you know. You release that. And then you see God begin to work in their lives. And you don't go one day, you know, 10 years later, said, you were all messed up. I'm glad I was praying for you. You know, you just love them. You just, how many people would you do that too, Pastor? You know, like, you say, thank you, Lord, for honoring my prayers. It was done in secret. I pray them into that. You know, so only the pastors are laughing right now. I because they know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you want to say, I told you so. I told you if you listened to me, this would go well for you. But I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. Many esteemed spiritual leaders is common. So when I speak up here, if you see me as the man of God, you're receiving a spiritual reward. If you see me as common, it's like, yeah, it's just another guy in a suit. I have pastors that are a dozen, you know, dime a dozen, and they just want your money. You begin to think those thoughts, you're missing out on the anointing to transform your life. I'm telling you, I've learned this, and I'm not doing it so you can be more submitted to me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm trying to give you something that's going to heal you. It's going to help you in the long run. And if you have children, believe me, you know, or if you're a son, you're like, my parents, they don't know what they're talking about. Come on, give me a little elbow, a little nudge. Come on. And say, you're going to have children one day. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Let me help you a little bit. Hebrews 13:17, and I'm coming to an end, and I promise it won't be 30 minutes. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be what? Unprofitable for you. I'm going to be all right, you know. God's going to reward me if I'm faithful. But I want you to be rewarded. I want you to be profited by all this. This is why we do this. Yeah. I could go back to instructing and make money. But God has a call in my life to serve people. And I love you guys. So I want you to be profited. It's a reward. It's a blessing you receive when you're submissive, which is a component of honor. You will receive if you obey them and hold them in high esteem. If you want a prophecy, then honor the prophet. or those who prophesy on occasion, because some are not prophets, but they operate in the gift of prophecy. Does that make sense? You know, so you want to honor them. If you want to grow in knowledge, then hold in high esteem, honor the teachers around you. Do you want your youth to do well and your children to do well? Then hold your youth pastors and leaders in high regard. Oh, they're just a youth pastor. You know, John, what's his name? Ron Luz would say, $2. Hey, here, I'm dropping off my kids. Here's $2. It's like a little tip, like a, you know, babysitter. Watch my kids for a couple of hours. No. You say, this is the man of God. You listen to them. Your kids will get a reward through it. Obey them. Pray for them. Find ways to make them feel good. Include them in your victories, not just your defeats. There's some people that only come around and tell us all the problems they have. Once in a while, it would be great, right, Pastor? If they came and told you, you know what? I had an amazing victory. I wanted to make you a part of it. Thank you for praying me into that. You know? You know, like Jesus prayed for 10 lepers. Only one came back to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I can tell you there's some people that are constantly blessing Raquel and I with words and deeds, gifts, heartfelt expressions, which mean the world to us. But like I said, there's some always who hold us as common. And we can see it, but it's okay. This book begins with a story of Jesus in Mark chapter 6, where he began to teach and preach where he had grown up. In Sierra Vista, in Galilee. Well, Sierra Vista for me. Isn't that the guy that plays soccer with us? Isn't that the carpenter's son? And it says, and they were offended at him. And it says, and he could not do any miracles. It doesn't say he would not do many miracles. It says he could not. Their lack of honor lost them their reward. Their lack of faith lost them their reward. If you think of this, God, I know you so well that I know that whatever you do for me is good. Therefore, I know you've given me a pastor that you put in my place to bless me. They are the man of God. They are the woman of God. These teachers, apostles, prophets, you know, all these positions that are here for you, they were put here for me. So, here's the issue that I see all the time. This is just a little side issue. There are people who honor the man and woman of the God from their church 10 years ago. And they never lose that connection to that pastor. And the Bible says that we need to be planted in the house of the Lord. You will flourish if you're planted in the house of the Lord. Some people have come to church, but they're not planted in the house. They're planted in somebody else's house. You cannot have the new until you let go of the old. If God brought you here, it's for a reason. The Pharisees loved their religion. They can see that their Messiah was right in front of them. Their man of God was right there to save them, to set them free. And these little people over here that came later that didn't know anything, they saw him as Messiah and they received their full reward. If God has you here, then you need to know that it's not by chance, that God brought you here for a reason. To submit to those leaders and to submit to the vision of those leaders, not only for you, your family, for this whole community. There's many houses, but if God has you here, then you need to say, God, give me a heart for the pastor. Give me a heart for the vision. That should be all of our prayers. I've prayed prayers like that all the time. God, help me to see the vision of my pastor. Help me to honor it from the heart. Not just help him a little bit. No, I want him to reach all of his goals. Everything that God's given him, I want to accomplish it for him. Like Jonathan, you know, and his armor bearer, they attacked a hill says, you know, God will give us a great victory. You know, like those three men that served David. He said, David said, man, oh, if I could have a drink from the well in Bethlehem that the Philistines have taken over. And the guys are like, So they went and infiltrated the town just to get a drink of water for David. They loved their leader so much. They would do whatever they would have to do for them. Because there was the man of God in their life. And David was like, I can't believe you risked your life for me. That's too much honor. And he says, I can't drink this. And he says, he poured it out. And that's to say, you guys honor us, but ultimately the glory goes to God. We're always deflecting. Thank you. Thank you for your expressions of love, but ultimately, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Jesus. I'm trying to tell you something foundational. If you will submit to the vision of the house, you and your family will be blessed. God saw you before the foundation of the earth, that you would be planted in this house, that you would flourish as our roots begin to grow together. And we begin to form a tight formation, a tight foundation, so that the house of God can grow and grow and grow. And I'm telling you, where God has taken us is not just for Sierra Vista. We're going to the nations, people. But it's going to take people that are willing to link up arms on their one vision, one heart, one mind, honoring one another, honoring the gift that each of us has, honoring our leaders, honoring our peers, and honoring the people that God has called us to steward over. We've talked about this for now a number of weeks. We got to get it in our hearts. I believe this is a foundational teaching for the house of God today, not just for us. I believe this is for all of America, because we've lost that place of honor. The Bible says, delight in giving honor to each other. Delight in giving honor to each other. It should be a delight. Find ways. Surprise people. Go take them a coffee at their job. You know, send them a little gift through Amazon. Especially for your enemies. Oh, it feels so good to honor your enemies. Come on. I'm telling you, time and money. That's the way you honor people. Time and money. People are like, oh, I can't believe you did that for me. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. You know, the Bible says it puts like hot coals on their head. You know, if you love your enemies, if you do good things for them. Are you seeing this? This is the heart of God. David had a terrible leader, Saul, and he honored him, not only up to the point that he died, but even after his death, he honored him. And this family, he says, is there anybody in the house of Saul that I can honor? Somebody that I can bless? Somebody I can take care of? Oh, there is one. Mephibosheth. He's lame at his feet. Bring him in here. Bring him in here. I don't know why I'm crying. And he says, I want to honor Saul and Jonathan. And you're going to live in the palace. You're going to eat from my table. And you're going to wear royal clothes. That is the heart of God. If you think about it, that's the story of Jesus. We were lame. Lame in our sins. But he saw the gift in us. You know, there's a song that says, he did not want heaven without us. And some people said, that's not scriptural. There's all these people fighting that song. I don't know why that's not theologically sound. Yes. He could do without us, but he says he didn't want heaven without us. So he sent his son to die while we were yet sinners. Is there somebody out there who's lame in their feet, lame in their heart, lame in their mind? Somebody so far away, lost their hope, lost their inheritance. And he says, bring him here. He says, sent the servant to get him, and he came to live with him for the rest of his life. There's some Mephibosheths here today. And God is so big, he will honor you before you even honor him. He's been honoring you. He died on the cross. The Bible says that he was naked, or he didn't have very many clothes. I don't know if he was fully naked or partially naked, but he took on our shame. There's things that all of us have in our hearts that we wouldn't want anybody to know. But he wants to cover us with his royal robes, with righteousness. The Bible calls us kings and priests, just like Malachi. King and prophet. Kings and priests, Revelation 1. God wants to touch somebody today, and it always begins with repentance. It says in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached that very first message after Pentecost. He says, you guys crucified Jesus with your sins. Don't blame it on the Romans. A lot of people say, oh, the Romans killed him. And some people say, the Jews killed him. No, we killed him. All of us killed him. And then it says that they were cut through their heart. Their hearts burned. And they submitted themselves to these men and said, and their reward came. What shall we do, men of God? What shall we do? It sounds like you're speaking the words of God. And he says, repent, everyone, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That you may be, and this is another, in the next chapter, so that you may be refreshed. He will send you his Holy Spirit. And I believe there's some people today that need to be refreshed and clothed by Jesus. Don't just be religious. Don't just bring God that lame animal, so to speak. Give him your best. That's honor, giving God your best.